The Truck and Driver podcast is sponsored by Fortune Tires, who manufacture high-quality, durable tires designed for operators who are looking for exceptional value across every application. Fortune Tires is proud to partner with International Tires, the exclusive distributor of their truck tires in the UK. For more info, visit internationaltires.com/fortune or call 0121 552 6888. Drive forward with Fortune Tires.
Hello and welcome to the Truck and Driver podcast. It's Matt Ireland once again, and today I'm joining Suffolk's Commercial Vehicle Unit for a little bit of a chat on the legality of things. So, afternoon, gents. Would you like to just introduce yourselves?
Yeah, I'm PC Terry Harvey. I'm a roads policing officer, and I've been working on the Commercial Vehicle Unit now since we started in November 20. I've been a traffic officer since 2010, so 15 years now, and I've been a police officer in Suffolk since 2003. Think about that. It's been a while.
Yeah, I'm PC Wayne Stoneman. Like Terry, we joined the CVU when it started in November 20, just ourselves and a sergeant. We've been on it ever since. Before that, I've been a roads policing officer, I think, for about 7 years before that. So it's coming up about 10, I think, in total. Prior to that, normal police officer on response. I joined the role quite late in life, at the age of 39. Prior to that, I'd been in the haulage industry quite a bit myself.
Right, okay. So you're involved in what kind of haulage? Just general haulage, or is it all sorts?
I was made redundant at the age of about 27, some 27, 28 years ago. I didn't get a lot of money, but I thought, what am I going to do with it?
Yeah.
So I took my HGV 2, was it? Or Category C.
Yeah.
I drove for a couple of years for a couple of different companies, delivering goods around East Anglia and London. I was then asked to join a well-known abnormal load company, and I spent 8 years there. So I started off pretty much at the bottom, putting in abnormal load notifications every day.
Yeah.
And working my way up.
Right.
You know.
Because it seems quite a hot internet topic at the moment is abnormal loads and movement orders and things like that.
Yes, it is.
Is it quite a minefield?
It is quite a minefield.
Yeah.
Because across the country we've got 43 police forces.
Yeah.
43 ways of doing things.
Right.
So there has been a very long ongoing project with the industry, National Police Chiefs Council, various forces, all trying to work together to create a generalisation for the whole country.
Yeah.
So the hauliers will know what to do.
Yeah.
No matter where they go.
Regardless, right.
That's the theory behind it.
Okay.
It's, as you can imagine, they've got lots of industry members, all their ideas. Police forces have different ideas. We've all got different road networks.
Yeah.
Suffolk, we haven't got any motorways.
True.
Other forces have got lots of them.
Yeah.
There's lots of things to take into account. It is being looked at. It has been looked at for a long time now.
Yeah.
And, it's a hell of a thing to achieve.
Yeah, to harmonise the whole lot is going to be.
And on top of that is also training the police officers as well.
Yeah.
How to escort things, what to look for on the side of the road as well.
Yeah.
So all that has to be taken into account.
Yeah.
It's been going on a long time.
Yeah.
But I think it's getting there now.
Right, okay.
I understand.
So if you're going from, say, here to Scotland, you're going to pass through quite a few without. Off the top of my head. Quite several.
There's a lot, yeah, you've got to go through a lot of forces.
Yeah, and they're all going to have different variations on the rules.
Yeah, and this project, I think it started, I'd like to say, about 4 or 5 years ago. We was involved initially, but we just didn't have time. Suffolk, there's two of us.
Yeah.
And we didn't have time to go out to different meetings all over the country and get involved in it.
And you've got your day job to do at the end
exactly,
of the day.
Exactly. I know the Essex CVU sergeant down there, he's quite involved in it. We hear little bits about it, but it is well underway and it's getting towards the end of it.
Right, that's good.
So it's getting
there. Yeah, and for people who don't really know much about heavy haulage as well, some of the comments I see now and again about the times that people are running, but there is actually an embargo, isn't there, for abnormal loads?
There is, yeah. In Suffolk, the embargo times are 7 a.m. till 9 a.m. and 4 p.m. till 6 p.m.
Yeah.
again, that has been pretty, that has been looked at, hasn't it? And quite a few forces have fallen in line
right.
with those times because yeah. they were all over the place.
Yeah.
And it was a nightmare for a haulier, we understood that.
Yeah.
How many, what percentage would you say? 80% of the country are probably now the same?
Right.
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It's probably not far, maybe more.
It's going to make it a lot easier because, again, for argument's sake, if you went from Suffolk into Essex and they've got a different time, we don't have big parking areas at the border crossing point, so to speak, do we? You go down the A12 and you're stuck, no. don't you? So
yeah, and regionally, Norfolk have now got commercial vehicle unit as well,
yep.
following R1. We followed on Essex, had theirs for many years.
Right.
And they did start off, again, with just two officers
yeah.
for a long time. Then they had the incident with the Vietnamese in the back of a truck.
Yeah.
And their CVU has now expanded. Still not very big. There's only a sergeant and three of them.
Right, okay.
But they're a lot more experienced, a lot more procedures all been put in place. So we steal things from them.
Yeah.
We learn from them. And we adopt them into Suffolk as well. So regionally, we're all roughly working together on the same outcomes.
Yeah.
And same equipment, similar-ish. But we often chat together,
yeah.
work together, we do operations together, so we will learn.
Yeah.
And that's the best way of doing it.
So will the plan for Suffolk, because like, so there's only two of you at the moment, is the plan to expand it at some point, or is that
not at the
really?
Moment, I don't think.
No.
Because, again, it comes down to funding.
Yeah.
Suffolk are one of the lowest funded forces in the country.
Yeah.
Roads policing is very few officers, but we do what we can with what we've got.
Yeah.
And we have, I'd say, fairly safe roads.
Yeah.
We've noticed since the commercial vehicle unit's been running, so November 20 when we started.
Was, yeah.
Since then, we've noticed a significant amount of fences have dropped off.
Right.
So we have the unmarked HGV.
Yeah.
5-6 years ago running, having that operation, we were stopping, I'd say probably 60-70 vehicles a day for whatever offences, not mm-hmm. just lorries, but cars and everything.
Yeah.
Since the CVU's been running, so we had it a couple of weeks, well, last week, lorry offences, we were struggling to find 10, 20
really?
A day. It's dropped off huge amounts.
Yeah.
So seat belts and foams, bigger scene.
Yeah.
Most drivers now wearing seat belts, quite common.
Yeah.
Whereas 5 years ago, no one was.
Yeah.
Mobile phones, again, we still see some real howlers. Last mm-hmm. week, there was a guy texting away as he's driving over the Orwell Bridge. We sat beside him pretty much the width of the bridge. And he was still texting with his phone right next to us, and we were driving the truck, and a colleague was filming him.
Yeah.
He then tried to evade us because he dropped his speed off down at 30 mile an hour, which was dangerous in its own right.
Yeah.
So we've pulled over, he's come past, we've gone again, and he's last second he's dived off at the A12.
Yeah.
Then he's come back on again.
Yeah.
What he didn't know is a police motorcyclist sitting on the A12 copped off roundabout waiting for him. So, and it turned out he already had 9 points
right.
for various offences.
Probably be on his phone, I expect, as one of them.
Yeah, and again, it's things like that.
Yeah.
And he didn't see an issue.
Yeah.
So, but the CV, as we've been active regularly up and down the A14, so most of the local drivers know this van now.
Yeah.
It does stand out a bit.
Yeah.
Offences have dropped off considerably.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which is good because the aim of this is. It's to stop deaths and casualties.
Well, yeah, the whole point of it being an offence is it's dangerous to be doing whilst you're driving.
Certainly phones is straight away ticket.
Yeah.
No ifs or buts. Yeah. We will deal with it. And certainly trucks report to traffic commissioners as well.
Yeah.
Because it is dangerous. There's been some serious collisions and fatals over the years.
Yeah.
All over the country.
Yeah.
So that's why there's no ifs or buts with it.
Yeah.
Caught on the phone, you will be dealt with.
Yeah. And it's just probably one of them offences that just isn't really going to go away, is it? It's just people are...
No, with, again, running up tram line, say the unmarked, we call it up tram line, it's the unmarked lorry,
yeah.
we have that. We still see drivers on video calls,
mm-hmm.
still see videos being played, whether it's on a pad or on a phone. Last year, we had a driver watching pornography. And yeah. his phone was directly in front of him,
yeah.
above the steering wheel on the windscreen. So that was yeah, and he fully admitted it when we stopped him.
Yeah.
You know, he said what he was up to. Quite a common one as well is having phones and sat-navs directly in the view of the driver.
Yeah.
Or just slightly off-centre, but it covers that clear space where you need the space in a truck. Mm. And the blind spot, as we know in a lorry,
yeah.
front of that cow is huge blind spot area.
Exactly. Even with that mirror under your sun visor.
Yeah. It's still a big by covering your truck with phones and sat navs and every other gadget. If they're low in the windscreen, not a problem. But when they're up middle of the windscreen, great. Yeah, you might be able to see it, but you can't see anything else.
And
town centre, if it only takes one person to walk out in front of you, you might not spot them.
Yeah, exactly. And it only takes like a split second, and your life and someone else's life can be changed just catastrophically, really, so quickly.
Yeah, that's the thing. There's Met Police created a toolbox talk.
Yeah.
2 or 3 years ago, award-winning for the industry. We can do the same now as well. And some of that is driver welfare.
Yeah.
Not just about working long hours and stressing about work, but sad to say, but common thing is people jumping in front of a lorry.
Yeah.
We've dealt with some, haven't we? And
yeah.
Colleagues will go deal with the collision and person laying there, body.
Yeah.
But the poor lorry driver stopped down the road because his truck don't stop 2 seconds.
No.
It's probably 300 or 400 metres their way.
Yeah.
No one really worries about them.
No.
Certainly the last one we had a couple of years ago, I don't think we dealt with. We had to go speak to that driver. I sat in the truck with him and he was crying.
Yeah, I'm not surprised.
Someone's just ran in front of his truck and nothing he could do about it.
Yeah.
We watched the video back from his dash cam.
Yeah.
He'd done exactly what he did. He tried to swerve last second. But poor guy was so upset over it.
Yeah.
But from our side of things, we don't always look after that person.
Yeah.
The family of the deceased would look after.
Yeah.
But not the driver.
Yeah.
So we've got a little toolbox talk now, haven't we? We deliver that to companies as and when they very request it, and it covers things like that.
Yeah.
And it covers a bit like we're talking about today.
Yeah.
What we do, bridge strikes, it covers fatalities, welfare of drivers, loads, all sorts of little things.
Yeah.
3 or 4 hours with a company. It's free, it don't cost anything.
Yeah.
We happily come and deliver it.
Yeah, it's worth doing, isn't it?
And it's getting across that we're not here. Like some people just think we're out doing tickets all day.
Yeah.
And as an income force, it's not the case at all.
No.
Education is more the way forward. It's explained to drivers, this is what's the issue with load security. This is the issue with the tachograph.
Yeah.
It's talking about it.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And again, it comes to things like people say, well, what gives them, how do they know how to load and secure a truck properly? And for argument's sake, like, big bulk bags of fertiliser, you know, well, they settle. Yeah, but if you look on the government website, there is guidelines as to how you should be strapping them appropriately. And the other favourite thing is like IBCs needing 2 straps.
Yeah.
And there's reasoning behind all this. It's not just been made up.
As well as I do all the commercial vehicle stuff in Suffolk, we're also part of the National Commercial Vehicle Enforcement Group, which is another sergeant runs this group from based in Hampshire, Commercial Vehicle Unit, which incorporates all the police force, all the specialists across the country, whether they're a dedicated commercial unit or they're just road policing officers. So we all get together and learn stuff from each other. I'm the chair of the National Dangerous Goods Practitioners Forum.
Mm-hmm.
So I specialise in dangerous goods. And again, I've got contacts all across the country. We learn from each other. And what we have is at the Health and Safety Executive, lovely lady called Nina Day.
Yeah.
She's the one who writes the book for load security.
Yeah.
She's the one who trained us. We go directly to her.
Yeah.
So you can't get any better.
Yeah.
She writes all the guides for the government website and what DVSA follow. So
yeah.
The categorisation of defects, which I think a few years ago was just load security, one page, and we didn't really have much involvement in it. Now it's about 4 or 5 pages long, and it breaks it all down, what is load security.
Yeah.
So a lot of police forces, specialists in this area, we've all been to training sessions with Nina.
Right.
And we've learned, we've done a couple of the sessions now as a refresher.
Yeah.
And Nina is not only an engineer herself, but she's done a lot of research over probably 20 years in load security.
Yeah.
So she's collated all the incidents from Health and Safety Executive where people have died as a result of things coming off. They've done testing of ratchet straps.
Yeah.
So put them outside and left them there for 3 or 4 years and see how they deteriorate and things like that.
Yeah.
And it was fascinating.
Yeah.
You know, we was at whole day, wasn't we? What she was explaining, just an eye-opener.
Yeah.
And following that, we've gone out and done, increased our load security enforcement, I suppose, if you're aware of putting it, to show vans, lorries, this is how it should be done.
Yeah.
Putting nets on things to stop
loose
things.
Yeah.
Certainly over the years I've been on track. The amount of things you go to the A14,
yeah,
having to put a rolling roadblock in,
yeah,
disrupts all the traffic, slows it all down because someone's lost a ladder,
yeah,
because it weren't strapped down.
Yeah. Or a wheelbarrow or...
Little bits like that.
If we were to stop these drivers, they always say nothing's going to come off this load.
Yeah.
Always.
Yeah.
But how many times a day? Three, five times a day, we're on the A14 picking up ladders and wheelbarrows, as you say.
Yeah.
You know.
Or it's never fell off before.
Yeah.
Or there's no chance. And that's what Nina says in her training. The amount of times she hears people say, drivers, well, it's never happened before.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but tomorrow it could.
Exactly. Yeah.
And we've now got really good, clear guidance about all the aspects. Not only vans and things, but XL rated trailers.
Yeah.
The amount of drivers who don't understand positive fit.
Yeah.
On a trailer.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably two or three on a check site a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
Open the back doors up, nothing strapped down, it's a load rated trailer. Yes, it is, but you've got to have positive fit. If it's not positive fit, you can't claim the...
So can you just explain to the people who don't know what positive fit is?
Yeah, so a positive fit on a... So you've got to have an XL rated trailer, curtain sider, generally.
And these are plated as well, aren't they?
They'll have a very big sticker somewhere on it, depending on what company manufactures them. But they'll clearly say it's XL rated. So you're allowed 300mm gap at the front between the pallet or whatever load it is. And then same at the back. And then if there's anything greater than that, they must be strapped with ratchet straps or whatever system is in place. The sides, so from the load to the edge of the trailer, 80 millimetres.
Right.
Anything bigger than that, they have to be strapped.
Strapped, yeah.
But so the idea, what it's called positive fit, is you fill the entire load bit, load area up.
Yeah.
Then you can claim the XL.
Mm-hmm.
If the back, say you've done loads of deliveries and you've gone from 300mm down, you're now 4 or 5 metres in, just the rear has to be strapped.
Yeah.
But the rest can stay as it is.
Yeah.
And that's what positive fit is.
Right.
And we're still finding an awful lot of drivers don't know that.
Yeah.
Whether it's...
It's probably because they're not being taught it.
I think that's half the issue,
isn't it?
So they start a new job, especially younger drivers. They're not shown how to do it.
That's it.
They just chuck your stuff in and off you go.
Yeah. Whereas, and that's like the whole reason for me wanting to come and speak to you guys is to, if one person listens to this and thinks, oh, I didn't know that, I need to be doing that, and then that then stops them getting a ticket because they now have been educated.
And also, it's stuff does come out of the curtains.
Yeah.
We've had an incident a while ago now down in Needham Market where four IBCs are in the back of a truck. It was an XL rated trailer, fine, but nothing was strapped.
Mm-hmm.
It's gone round the roundabout and IBC has come out the side.
Right.
It was full of, I can't remember the name, some sort of acid. We had to shut the road. And the driver had 6 months in prison.
I mean,
more for dangerous driving because of the manner he's driving. But had he secured that load, that wouldn't have happened.
I mean, even if I had an XL rated trailer, if having IBCs on, I'd be strapping them regardless.
Yeah, there's still a fully loaded one. A ton.
Yeah,
of liquid of some sort.
You generally have two side by side, don't you? So you've got 2 ton there. That's a lot of force.
And again, what's Nina at HSE done was, originally it was probably just one strap, cover it, done.
Yeah.
But we found one strap is not enough.
Mm.
And again, there's an app online
which
anyone can download. If you figure it out, it's very complicated. It's not straightforward. But it tells you how many straps you should have based on, we did a next step up training, how to work the formula out. It's rather complicated.
It was rather complicated,
But it's all to do with coefficient of friction on the load bed.
Yeah.
What the load is and how the forces move and if you have to brake. So all that was taken into account.
Yeah.
It almost broke me. But it was once we got the head around it, it's like, no, this one actually makes sense.
Yeah. And ultimately, really, if in doubt, just put extra straps on it. You can't really have too many, can you?
No,
it's better to have too many than not enough.
Yeah, and I've been to many incidents where straps have broken.
Yeah.
Because it was one long time ago in the A140, where it's a very 5-ton lump of metal machinery thing.
Mm-hmm.
It had about 2 straps on it.
Yeah.
When the guy had to slam the brakes on for a vehicle pulling out or something, both straps snapped.
Yeah.
It took a roof of a car off coming the other way. And how that woman got away with that, I don't know. But had the driver put sufficient straps or even used chains on it?
Yeah. Now, what's the argument? Yeah, but they're 2 5-ton straps.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
that's all well and good if it's in a straight line, isn't it?
Exactly.
Yeah. Point to point. Again, that's what we learned with Nina was the difference on the straps is a strap going point to point, not touching anything, will hold 5-ton.
Yeah.
But as soon as you use it as frictional, as in put over things, it drops it to about 300-400 kilos straight away. And you know, you didn't know that, and you've been doing it for years, hadn't you?
Old school, I was, you know, 5 blocks of stitches was a 5-ton strap.
Yeah,
you
know, absolutely. Yeah. That'll hold 5-ton easy enough,
exactly,
wouldn't it?
So
I've got 2 on there, that'll hold 10, piece of cake.
But that's not the case, we found out.
No.
Yeah, and the little lines in the straps have got nothing to do with it whatsoever.
Have they not now?
No, not at all.
Because that comes up in driver CPC. Yeah. They do still teach that the 5 lines in the straps, that's nonsense.
We brought that up with Nina, didn't we, when we done the training.
Got to look at the label,
do the 5 lines. It's got nothing to do with it.
Right.
You've got to look at the blue label, whatever colour it is, and that tells you all about the different codes. And again, all those codes, you can go online and you can find out exactly what they are.
Yeah.
We're not hiding anything. Everything's available.
Mm.
All I'd suggest is, if you're not sure, go to the government website. Go to HSE's website. Don't go to forums. Because people have their own ideas.
Yeah,
and
they all know best.
Everyone knows best, and someone says one thing, then someone takes it, that's correct, because they found it on the internet, and off you go and get it horribly wrong.
Exactly. You can get some fantastic advice off the internet, but you can also be told a complete load of nonsense from someone with the best intentions, unfortunately. But you just... Getting the official line is always the easiest way. Isn't it?
And we're approachable as well. You know, we've helped scaffolders, sugar beet, transporters, all sorts. You know, with advice, and we've got a direct line to Nina.
Yeah.
You know, and she doesn't mind talking to hauliers direct as well.
Yeah.
Or one man bands, whatever.
Yeah.
We can find the answer out and help.
Yeah.
If we don't know it, we know someone will have an answer.
Yeah.
Relatively quickly. Different things.
So do you work? Presumably, you obviously work alongside the DVSA, or you kind of run independently, but you'll help them out?
Yeah, we're both independent, so as police officers, we've got different powers. We do different things as well, so we'll deal with the seatbelts, the phones, that sort of thing, whereas DVSA don't. DVSA, though, will do their roadside inspections, but they also then can go visit companies and investigate a lot more. Although we can do the same, it's just working together.
Yeah.
We're trying to achieve the same things. It's just our roles are slightly different.
Yeah,
we work together. We get on very well with our local DVSA guys. We've got a big site just down the road here at Elmswell.
Yeah,
they call us for different things when they find stuff, and likewise, we get stuff. We ring them.
Yeah,
and we work really together.
Yeah,
really well together. It just really works. That's the main thing.
So just going back to Operation Tramline for a moment, that unmarked truck, that's shared between several counties, isn't it? Is that right?
Yeah, there's National Highways own and provide the trucks to us free of charge, so a big thanks to them. The country's split up into 3 areas.
Right.
We were south at the start of the year. You choose your weeks, and if no one's got them, you can have a truck.
Right,
so, we share it with the south of the country, basically.
So it's quite a big area to share it with, isn't it, rather than just a few counties?
For us, it often involves driving to Cornwall or somewhere at the weekend to pick it up. That's the way it is.
Yeah.
You know, we're thankful for the truck.
Yeah. So you then have it for a week, generally?
There's times when we finish with it, there might not be another force, got it for a couple of weeks, and we might dabble. You know,
just have a bit
the odd day and
pop it out now and again.
Generally a week, 3 or 4 times a year, maybe more.
It's a good tool. I think over the years we've had it, we're definitely now seeing less people committing offences, which is a good thing.
Yeah,
a great week for us is having can't find anything at all.
None at all. Yeah,
has that ever happened?
No.
It never will.
From, like we said earlier, from lorry drivers, trucks and things, seatbelts now is hard to find.
Yeah.
We appreciate
people do make mistakes. They do forget to put them on and pull out services. But we often say, would you do it in your car? So, well, no, I always put it on my car.
Yeah, exactly. So why not put it in the truck? I think as well with the warnings that come up, because like the older trucks don't have an audible warning for very long, whereas new ones, yeah, it's constantly at people, isn't,
yeah,
it?
So, yeah. But we also see people clipping behind. And we had a couple, even last week, we had a couple where clearly seen not wearing a seatbelt, we get alongside, and a colleague who everyone's in the passenger seat was indicated to the driver, put your belt on. So while we're videoing them, and you see this struggle of trying to get this belt over their head, it's quite funny to watch at times. But
we've been to fails involving lorries, and drivers would have survived with it on.
Yeah.
You know, quite a few times. Unfortunately, part of our jobs to investigate is to go to all the fatals and serious injuries involving, yeah, lorries and vans and etc. And you know, we've had to scrape body parts and brains off windscreens,
yeah,
before to put in the bag with a body. It's not pleasant for us, and it could have all been avoided.
Yeah, just, know, by putting a belt
just
on.
By putting a belt on.
Yeah, yeah. It's not difficult, is it? Unfortunately, but it's just I don't think we don't have a huge fatality rate. Sort of round Suffolk Way, do we? It's not.
It was a lot higher.
Yeah.
And in fact, we did win some award, didn't we? Or we had some recognition that since we'd started 4 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
What did it start at?
Oh,
it was in the late teens or 20s.
Mm-hmm.
Fatals a year in East Anglia or Suffolk involving heavy vehicles.
Yeah.
And I think the current year they looked at, there was five.
Yeah, it's Highways England, there's a guy there we do some work with. It's his job to go to all the scenes,
yeah,
and see if any of the roads contribute to the incident. That's not from an engineering point.
So like a pothole or something.
Yeah, what was the cause of it?
Yeah.
So he looks into it, and he came to visit us now and again.
Yeah.
And he said since CVU has been active, it dropped off from, like, I think,
considerably.
Mm-hmm. Like 20 a year down to about 3 or 4.
But then them 3 or 4 are probably people jumping in front of lorries.
Potentially.
Yeah,
yes.
It did include, yeah, everything.
You have to count those, just, but
yeah.
You know.
Yeah, it's not always the driver's fault.
Yeah.
It could be, like, say, someone jumping off a bridge. Someone,
yeah.
Those things we'll never avoid.
No, that's right.
Happen.
Yeah.
We can never go to our bosses and say we've saved so many lives per year.
No.
But we're highly visible. You know, I travel a country. And you can go from one end of a country to the other without seeing a police car,
yeah,
on major roads and motorways. I'd like to feel that Suffolk, I think we are a bit more visible in Suffolk. You know, we're about.
Yeah.
I know our roads and our policing teams, we're about on the A14, A12, A11 daily as well.
Yeah.
And yeah, you just can't put a figure on how many lives you've saved. You know, no. If one person sees us and, oh, I'll put my seatbelt on or I'll end my phone call,
yeah,
it could potentially save a life.
Yeah, absolutely. You know? Yeah.
It's something we can never quantify.
No.
That little interaction of pulling a truck over for 10 minutes, do a tachograph check.
Yeah.
That might have 10 minutes later, if we hadn't stopped it, something serious could have happened.
Yeah.
We'll never know.
Yeah, exactly.
But looking long term,
yeah,
we'd like to hope that things are reducing for us just being out and about.
So talking tachographs, are they... Is there still a lot of major offences with tachographs? Since, I mean, it's quite hard to sort of go about, but obviously when we had paper cards, they were a lot easier for people to get around, whereas digital ones are not.
Yeah,
well, they're not foolproof, but they should.
Yeah, I've been involved doing tachograph checks for long before the CVU ever started. We have the same software now as DVSA as well,
yeah,
same analysis. It's a brilliant bit of software. Download the truck, put it on there, it tells us within minutes, is there any issues?
Yeah.
We download the truck and the driver card as well, so we can see what the truck's been up to, what the driver's been up to, all sorts of information. It's brilliant. We do find driver's hours, most of the UK drivers, it's majority of the small things. Like
just say, minor
a few minutes over here,
yeah,
there, 5 minutes, we're not so worried about those ones.
Yeah.
If there's anything more significant, like you're stuck in a tailback, can't move, because it does happen, we know, do a printout,
yeah,
right on there. Why?
Yeah. That's what's happened.
That covers it. We're, yeah, happy with that. Must be something official, though. It can't be screwing on a notebook, so I'm not stuck here. A printout will cover that.
Yeah.
And we'll be able to see the truck, because we download the truck as well.
Yeah.
We can see, well, the truck is definitely stationary at that time. It's not putting miles.
Yeah, away, or it's creeping and creeping and creeping at a very slow speed.
Yeah, yeah. And the software will pick up all these bits. Yeah. We can then, as much as it is good, it still does find offences when they're not there.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
I'm with you, yeah.
But, so we still have to look at it. We still have to be trained in tachograph analysis.
Yeah.
It's not as simple as that, but we spend time looking at it as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, fortunately, some drivers, it takes us 5 minutes to download it, but we could spend 25 minutes looking at the data
and figuring
and
it
making
out.
Sure. So we won't issue a ticket to a driver or deal with it until we're 100% sure, and then we'll go ask the driver, "You got any printouts for that day?"
Yeah.
Just 100%.
Yeah.
We'll deal with the foreign drivers as well.
Mm-hmm.
There is this misconception that foreign drivers are just, well, let on their way and sent home again. No, it's not the case.
No.
We will deal with them, we'll find the offences, and then we'll find them on the side of the road.
Yeah.
So they have to pay. And generally, it's only traffic officers who've got this capability, but because we're handling cash, credit cards as well, we can find the driver.
Yeah.
If they then can't pay it, then their truck gets immobilised. And they sit until they do.
Right, okay.
So
can they pay with a fuel card or not?
No.
We've had that.
Bank only.
It has to be a proper credit card.
Yeah, fair enough.
Or cash.
Yeah, or cash.
We don't like taking cash. No. It's a last resort. It doesn't look good. But it's all recorded on our body-worn video.
Cash must be getting quite a rare thing. And people aren't going to have that much as well.
No, we get around it.
Yeah.
Drivers pay for it. Or the company does, it doesn't matter who, and we send them on their way again.
Yeah.
Depends what the severity. If it's something that's just been committed then they get parked up or whatever, like a UK driver would, if they've not had a 45-hour break or a weekly rest, wherever that might be. Well, okay, you're parked here for 45 hours then,
yeah.
And that's it, and we'll leave them there for, off we go.
Yeah.
Come back a couple of days later, you can go now.
Yeah.
So, it's same UK or foreign drivers, we'll deal with them the same.
Yeah.
There's some couple of countries who we know are very prolific, shall we say.
I think most people could probably have the guess at which ones they are,
but we
don't need to.
Yeah, we've had a few little things.
Are they countries that tend to have quite a lot of these small Iveco type vans with a large tilt body that are
not really
quite heavy? No?
No, they're 44 ton trucks.
Are they ones a lot closer to our shores?
No, not really.
No?
They do travel a long distance, but They push their hours.
Yeah.
The company pays.
Yeah.
The company actually has, there's one company in question, but we actually have two full-time staff dealing with police probably all over Europe, just paying fines.
And that's your business model. It's just to break the law,
push it,
pay the fines.
And that's who we're after.
Yeah.
If we're stopping one of them, and two come past because we're still with one.
Yeah.
Well, they've made
a bit
extra money.
They've got it through. Yeah.
They've got their months through and they've made some extra money on the job.
It just defies my belief that, like, their home countries, of some of the ones I'm thinking of that I'm aware of, that's their business model, that the authorities in their home countries don't take any sort of action against them. It seems a bit mystifying,
really.
We
hear different things.
Yeah.
In through. I've got some contacts in Europe, but that's from the dangerous goods world.
Yeah.
And their fines are huge when they find issues, whereas ours are slightly different. But driver's hours, it seems to vary. Some get fined huge amounts, others get nothing.
Yeah.
Our software is used across Europe as well, so it's not just a UK thing for DVSA and UK police. The software we actually get comes from a company in Poland.
Right.
Poland sometimes be some of our customers, but that software is used in Poland and France, all sorts of, I think, 26 countries now, or 26 enforcement agencies across different countries of Europe.
Yeah.
And the check sheet built into the software is the ones that you find all over the Europe. So we'll find them from Switzerland and France and things. We know that reform because we deliver it as well. So.
Yeah.
But fines wise, it varies so much. So I can't really say why.
But I mean, if you had a UK operator doing something like that, they'd be up in front of the traffic commissioner and close down, wouldn't they? And they'd struggle to get a start again.
There are ways we can, via the traffic commissioner's office and Department of Transport, we can say, well, we've stopped this operator, European one. Can you forward this to the relevant country?
Yeah.
how they deal with it,
it's down to them.
It's up to them.
We
can only pass the same with us. We can pass the information. It's up to the
traffic commissioners. There's only so much you can do, isn't it?
And again, when we deal with prosecutions, we've gathered the evidence. This is what we found.
Yeah.
It's now up to the court to deal with it.
Yeah.
So we can't say any. We ain't got no say in what fines are issued or anything like that.
No. So, speaking of infringements and whatnot, just before we started, we were talking about these light-up eyes that are in people's vehicles. and obviously, this is not an audio thing, but both of you have just rolled your eyes.
They seem to start appearing late last year.
Yeah.
And initially, we saw a couple of them. You have to double-take them.
Yeah.
What the hell has that just gone the other way? So, when we started looking at it, there's the red ones, which seem to be the more common initially. There's a specific offence of showing red light to the front of a vehicle.
Regardless, because it
appears to be brake lights or the rear of a vehicle.
Yes.
And if you see a rear of a vehicle suddenly come towards you, that don't look right. So, but also, they're moving as well.
Yeah.
They're LEDs, they blink, the little eyeballs move around in them. So that was the other issue. Then we notice other colours appearing as well. So they've got their moving lamps. When I first remember stopping the first one, actually getting in the truck, and then seeing the depth of these LED lights on the dashboard, you've already got a big blind spot in front of that truck, even regardless of the little mirror top. That just reduces your vision even more by having two great big LED strips across them. So, as and when we find them, we are dealing with them, along with a lot of other forces as well, not just us.
Yeah.
Getting them removed.
Is it normally just a bit of a chat to say take it out, or depending on?
Initially, we was chatting. We spoke to a couple of companies, rung them up, say, look, can you tell your drivers to remove them?
Yeah.
That was what, 6 months ago now.
Given the benefit of the doubt,
give them a
bit of
a chance.
Yeah.
And to be fair, they have reduced the notice in the last few weeks.
Yeah, they don't seem to be as popular.
No, we've had a few chats with the companies. A few drivers have had a few tickets, and a few have removed them on the spot.
Yeah.
So they seem to have disappeared a little. Little fad for a little bit.
Yeah, so. I don't even know where it came from. Just all of a sudden,
TikTok, I think.
Well, probably
TikTok shop. Yeah,
yeah, they just start appearing.
Yeah,
here, there, and everywhere.
The first ones I saw was, I think, on the A14 truck going the other way, and I thought, "What the hell was that?"
Yeah.
then another one appeared, and so on. Okay.
Yeah, they're ideal to put in your window at night when you're parked up.
Yeah, for a bit of fun. No problem.
But not driving along, and. So they are a distraction because your eyes are just drawn to it. You can't, even if you're not trying to look at it, you just can't help but see, especially some of them are really big, aren't they?
Yeah.
You know, as opposed to obviously stand out, but
yeah. Yeah, I mean, if they're really, really big or obscure your vision that much, you're going to be looking at 3 points as well.
Right.
You're fine, so
crikey.
It's just not worth it.
No, not at all. Not at all. So what's in this van as such? This is pretty much a mobile station to a degree,
mobile office. Yeah.
When we first set up, we started from our Land Rover.
Yeah.
Just while we sort of had this
low speed pursuit, was it?
Well, lovely old vehicle. It's a brilliant vehicle. Not much space in it. It was quite old as well. It was getting on a bit.
Yeah.
But whilst this was being built for us,
so
we started off because this vehicle had to be a stopping vehicle for us as well. So we sort of play around with different ideas, come up with it. So this became like a mobile office for us, which we go out in each day. I say a lot of people have seen it, can't miss it.
No.
High top transit van marked up. Stands out a lot.
But you guys have kind of developed it yourselves with various bits and pieces.
We designed it how we wanted it. So we've got two workstations in here.
Yeah.
Both computers in here have got the Tachograph software into it.
Yeah.
So we can access it straight away. We can print documents and scan documents as well in here.
Yeah.
You've got two big leisure batteries in it, so we can stay out all day.
Yeah.
And those batteries run everything.
Right.
They charge it as we drive around, but we often do the static check sites as well.
Yeah.
So whether it's a commercial vehicle day or it's a everything day sort of thing, with all the traffic officers there, the vehicle is designed that we can sit there all day and keep everything running.
Yeah.
So on top of the tachograph kit, We also carry in here all sorts of other little devices.
You've got little the mobile way pads.
We've got mobile way pads, yeah.
Yeah.
Very good for 20-ton axles.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we've mobile way scales we've had for a while now. They're we've tested them in various, because people say, well, you can't use them here, then we can.
Yeah.
We've tested them, they're extremely accurate, down to 5 kilos.
Wow.
We check their tested and calibrated every year as well, but they've got a lifetime guarantee on them.
Yeah.
For accuracy. Our ones will do 20 tons per axle.
Right.
So there's nothing we can't weigh.
Yeah.
We've put 60, 70 ton ab loads over them.
Crikey.
And they weighed them absolutely fine. Although a lot of our customers, shall we say, are typical 3.5 ton vans.
Yeah. Or should be a 3.5 ton van.
Should be.
Yeah. What's the heaviest 3.5 ton in air quotes?
9.4 ton.
9.4 tons.
Yeah, we we just happened to pass him going the other way in Bury St Edmunds a year or two ago.
Yeah.
And at the same time, we said some choice words to one another. We spun around and this vehicle was struggling to turn.
Yeah.
His wheels were like at 45 degrees. And how the hell he would have stopped, I don't know.
Yeah. I think the rims are on the ground.
How did he get going to start with?
He had 6 pallets of bricks in. I think each pallet was 1.3 tonnes. So with one pallet on, he'd have been overweight.
Yeah.
He had 6.
How far had he gone with them? Did you know?
He'd come from a builder's merchant.
Builder's merchants in Bury. We caught him probably about a quarter mile after he left, thankfully.
So, yeah, so not
he
far.
He was heading to Sudbury, so probably a good 15, 20 miles.
Yeah.
Like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think he'd have made
that
it.
That was one of the worst ones.
Yeah.
I think one of the worst we've heard of anyone in the country. No one's really got any higher in
that. No. I mean, is that an instant loss of licence for? I mean, because that's kind of.
Yeah.
At those rates, we'd have to put a fine into court and the court would decide.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think. I think we'd lose a licence, wouldn't we?
Probably not. It'd be a hefty fine.
Just a big fine, yeah.
Yeah, we send. Generally, we deal with overweights by us dealing tickets outside the road.
Yeah,
yeah.
And they're fined on a graduated scale.
Yeah.
But I always find whenever they go to court, for whatever reason, courts seem to fine a huge amount of money.
Right.
So I remember one, it's a £100 roadside fine.
Yeah.
The driver, they're giving. When they get their letters, 28 days to pay it. Mm-hmm. For whatever reason, it didn't get paid.
Right.
Don't know why, not really much to do with us.
Yeah.
But he then goes to court as a result.
Yeah.
So he went to court, put his hands up, that was it. But the court fined him £1,600. Which is quite a different from our little 100.
Yeah.
So I don't know why.
Yeah.
Never figured that one out.
But on the flip side of that, I stopped a car transporter pulling a trailer, so he needed his tachograph. He did have one, and I checked it, and he had 45 infringements in the last 28 days. And I think the total fines we could have given him for that was £9,400. Well, also, it was over £9,000 anyway.
Yeah.
And he went to court, and the court fined him £170.
Oh, really?
So it can go the other way as well, you know.
Yeah. Because that seems quite a common thing as well, because the weight of cars these days, they're a lot heavier than what they were 20 years ago. Like all your Fiestas and things like that. Every car, especially now stuff's going electric, things are going to be so much heavier. And I don't know whether it's just people chancing it or just genuine ignorance.
I think they know. Most of them know, you know. But if anything bigger than a Fiesta or Corsa on the back of one of those things, it's going to be overweight.
Yeah.
You know, we've had Teslas on there, haven't we?
Tesla is overweight straight away.
Yeah.
You know? It's very heavy.
I think they're the batteries. Yeah, they're over 2 tonne, I think, on the.
Yeah, it's the batteries.
Yeah.
So your average 3.5 tonne van, car transport 1.3 tonne vehicle, that's pretty much their limits.
I wonder if there's a production car that is that light at the moment, probably.
There's a few around, small
smart
vehicles.
Car.
Yeah, small vehicles, that's about it. So yeah. We've got our mobile weigh scales. Obviously, we've talked about the tachograph equipment.
Yeah.
We've got not only the software, but we've also got various equipment to look for manipulated tachographs.
Yep.
I know we've briefly said about that. It is possible to manipulate them.
Mm-hmm.
They're hard to find because some of them, they'll take the sender unit out, the gearbox,
right,
and actually manipulate that with microchips and jump wires where you need magnifying devices to look for them.
Yeah.
I've only ever found one in Suffolk. I think DVSA have found two or three as well.
Yeah.
But we've got a bit of equipment to look for stuff like that, let alone doing route tracing as well, trying to find trucks where they've been. We also do operations on looking for people into the country, back of lorries.
Mm-hmm.
I know that's still a major topic.
Yep.
So we've had various funding from the National Organised Immigration Crime Team, who have been paying for last year an operation which we'll do regularly, where we'll just stop foreign HGVs and search them and make sure they've not brought anyone to the country. Yep. Although on the operations we've not actually found anyone, but there's been, I think there was five or six incidents last year where people were found in trucks.
Yeah.
So we've gone and then dealt with them. We'll search the truck, and we've got pole cameras, CO2 detectors, thermal imaging equipment, where we can search the trucks as well.
Yeah.
Then what else have we got? We've got measuring equipment for abnormal loads.
Okay.
So there's a height stick, lengths, widths, tape measures.
Yeah.
Check abnormal loads, make sure they do comply with movement orders as well. We've got a caravan scanner as well. So,
Was this for stolen caravans?
Yeah, it's a stolen item. So,
So
Wayne does stolen vehicle identification. I do stolen plant and agricultural trailers and caravan identification.
Right, okay.
Because we know a lot of stuff goes through the ports in containers or back of curtain siders.
Yeah.
So we've got equipment as well. We can then look for it, see if it has been nicked. Do inquiries backwards.
Kind of similar systems like a pet's microchip type.
Similar sort of thing. It works. All caravans are on the CRIS system.
Right, okay.
Newish ones. So we've got access to that database. We can check it, see if it's been stolen or reported stolen.
Yeah.
And likewise, we've got a device, a jammer detector as well, we carry. So if you've got look, most cars are now connected one way or the other through GPS.
Right.
You can buy a GPS jammer.
Right.
Quite cheap.
Okay.
Illegal to use, but you can buy them.
Right.
That's not illegal.
Yeah, it's not illegal to sell them.
When you switch it on, that's when it comes illegal. So we've got a device we'll actually look for them when they're switched on.
So what's the advantage of jamming the GPS on your own vehicle or such?
No. If your own vehicle, a lot of companies will track your trucks, for example, aren't they? The boss, quick tap on the computer, right, I can see you're now travelling down the A14.
Yeah.
You put a jammer in, you flick it on, that disrupts that signal.
Right, okay.
The boss don't know where you are.
Yeah.
And our device will look for these things.
Okay.
And we'll deal with them as and when.
So is that just like a fixed penalty for...
That's actually a trip to court.
Is it?
That falls up under the Telecommunications Act
and things.
Nothing to do with traffic whatsoever. No. But it's quite a serious offence.
Because initially when you said about it, I thought that sounds quite... Not sort of light or innocuous, but it's just like, well, it doesn't seem to be that much of a major thing, really.
Really vehicle thefts. You know, people want to get a car stick in the back of a lorry.
Of course,
And they'll have jammer detectors, so the signal isn't being put out.
Yeah.
Sharing its location, you know.
Yeah.
We've got National Auto Vehicle Crime, NAVSIS, you might have heard of. NAVSIS, we've got people in ports all over the country. They will search containers and things and... Mm. Look for cars which have been bits or whole cars.
Yeah.
And if they've got a jammer device in there as well, then we'll look for it.
Yeah.
If it's coming past us, and I think something could beep, that's worth stopping that truck then. And
It's as simple as that. If you go past them, it will
show an activity. It will show something on the screen, and we've just got to try and identify which what vehicle it is.
The telltale sign is our radios will drop out, our mobile phones won't work.
Yeah.
You know,
because it's jammed everything
in the area. Yeah.
Okay. So that's why we bought that vehicle.
Yeah, that makes sense,
Then also, and our vehicle is fitted with Tracker.
Yeah.
So some people use Tracker as well on machinery, diggers, stuff like that. So Tracker activation, we can then use the vehicle to try and identify where it is and find it. Our van's also fitted with ANPR.
So if, obviously you're the commercial vehicle unit, but if just a private car went past with no insurance, you're still going to...
Yeah.
We're not going to ignore it.
You're going to...
We concentrate on commercial stuff because, the thing we say, our vehicle's fitted with ANPR.
Yeah.
So as vehicles come past, this will activate insurance or anything, or And there are commercial vehicles as well. Lorries might not be insured.
Mm-hmm.
It's not very often we find them, but yeah. more vans yeah. and things.
Yeah. But there's still people chancing, isn't there?
Yeah, so that's another bit of equipment we've got in the vehicle with us to check our NPR mm-hmm. while we're out and about. And it's also, we've got speed detection equipment in it as well.
Yeah.
So it's not a camera van,
yeah.
although because of our window on our
back. It looks similar to a camera
van,
doesn't it?
Everyone thinks a camera van. The window in the back is actually for our matrix board.
Right.
So like following me or pull you arrows in. Or whatever.
Yeah,
so,
got you.
But we've got a device, it's a time distancing. So when we first started using it, the A14, the van limit is 60 miles an hour.
Yeah.
And we found an awful lot of vans going out 80 plus.
Right.
And all we could really do is put a little message on the back and say, please slow down.
Slow down, yeah.
So then we had a device fitted which does time distance. So now we can actually do follow checks, follow the vehicles, and record it all
right.
and speed. And again, like I said earlier, lower end things, worse advice.
Yeah.
Slow down a bit.
Yeah.
That's all we need. But when we get in the vans come past us, and we've had vans pass us, overtake a marked van, 8 plus, are you really that stupid?
Well, clearly.
Because we will travel along cells at about 70
yeah.
because we're trying to look inside vehicles. If we're sitting there at 60, we'll just block everyone because no one wants to overtake us.
Yeah.
Then you cause carnage behind you because everyone's sitting there causing queues.
Yes.
So we all go a little bit quicker because we've got an exemption to do so.
Yeah.
Because we're looking in the trucks and the cars to see if anyone's doing anything. But yeah, we've had vans overtake us 80 plus and then wonder why they're getting stopped. So hence, that's why we had that bit of equipment.
Yeah.
What else we carry? We've got window tinting equipment. So we have found lorries with tinted windows.
I was going to say, I've seen a few, but it's not particularly common, is it?
It's not that common.
No, it's not. We've had a few taxis as well.
Yeah.
We have it more
equipment. Because again, you're a commercial vehicle unit. It's not just trucks.
It's not just trucks.
PSEs, taxis.
We'll do lorries, we'll do
vans,
buses, coaches, that sort of thing, or mini buses.
Yeah.
We'll do taxis, private hires, we'll do agricultural,
yeah.
we'll do tractors and anything like that. All sorts of stuff.
Yeah.
So we cover it, all sorts of commercial stuff.
Yeah.
Hence, that's why we carry as much as we can.
Yeah, to cover as many different bases.
Because we don't know what we're going to find each day.
Yeah.
So we've got tools. We do vehicle examination as well. So we can prohibit, for the mechanical side of things, any size vehicle as well.
Yeah.
To HGV.
Mm-hmm.
We also work with HMRC, Renfuel.
Mm-hmm.
For red diesel.
Yeah.
So we carry a bit of their siphon, a couple of their siphoning bottles as well.
Is that quite uncommon now?
It's not so much.
It's harder to buy red diesel now as well.
Yeah,
isn't it,
it's not so much common. It's
probably more common in vans than anything, isn't it?
But they work with us on check sites normally. They'll dip all the tanks and things. Occasionally, we did find, was it in the last year, a foreign vehicle had kerosene.
Right.
As opposed to diesel in the tank. So that was a bit of a shock to them.
Yeah.
Because although we can't do kerosene, they can, because it needs a bit more chemical interaction.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was an interesting one. then we've got obviously our mobilisation equipment, as and when we find stuff.
Yeah.
And we've got a tow hitch scale, should we get trailers and things which are potentially overloaded, which see if the hitch is overloaded.
Right.
That's just some of the equipment we've got available to us.
We've got our breath test machines, we've got our drug drive wipes.
Yeah.
Drug drive is unfortunately quite prevalent nowadays, isn't it? And there are quite a few drivers taking drugs and driving.
It does seem to have increased from just a layman, obviously, but I don't know whether it's because they sort of legalised more cannabis and stuff like that, because I'm
it's not been legalised.
No.
It's simple possession is probably going to get a warning.
Right. Okay.
You're not going to end up in prison or anything.
Yeah.
But
it stays in your system for a long
time. That's the problem.
So
people, will smoke cannabis at a weekend, take cocaine at a weekend, and a week later,
you're
still in your system. We come along, you're going to lose your licence for a year.
Just like that.
Yeah. It's drug driving seems to be more common now.
Yeah.
Especially in the Rose Pleasing guys, drink driving, don't see it. It's still out there, but the drugs, because it lasts in your system days, whereas alcohol, following morning, is probably gone.
Yeah.
Majority of it, but cocaine and cannabis just last days. And
yeah.
People don't understand it.
Yeah.
It does hang around. So.
But do they, can the drug wipes test for like prescription drugs that are there when you should be operating machinery, or is that a bit?
The roadside, all we test for is cannabis and cocaine.
Right, okay.
If you are positive for one of them, we take you to the police investigation centre. We'll take some blood out of your arm.
Yep.
And that gets analysed properly. And that will check for everything.
For everything, yeah.
All the banned drugs.
Yeah.
Quite a comprehensive list. I think it's about 80 drugs it will test for.
Right.
But we have had occasions where people in the winter might take coconut or something for a cold.
Yep.
You know, they'll show up positive for cocaine.
Right.
The blood's come back zero.
Yeah.
You know, that's not uncommon.
Right.
There's obviously something in these medicines that does show up on our drug wine.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's all sorted under analysis,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
If you haven't taken cannabis or cocaine, it's not going to show positive.
You could be fine,
yeah.
Yeah. It's pretty comprehensive, isn't it? Like you say, you need to be for all the different things you're covering.
Mm. Exactly,
yeah. Well, I think I've taken up enough of your time, really, because we've been nearly an hour now, and time is tight. But perhaps we'll see how this goes, and perhaps we'll do a follow-up one several months down the line, maybe.
Yeah. No, I mean, our message is don't be afraid of us unless you're doing something wrong. We're approachable. If you've got any questions, you want any help with anything, email us. We've got a generic email that goes to us both, cvu@suffolk.police.uk.
Yeah.
You know, we're more than welcome to help as many people as possible.
I mean, you're best off asking some people like yourselves than your mate down the pub who's probably got an idea. Yeah.
As Terry mentioned, we've got a toolbox talk. If there's any Suffolk hauliers interested in us coming along and giving that to the drivers, we're quite happy to do that as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're often seen at lorry parks.
Yep.
Say very few lorry parks left.
There's not many left now, yeah, sadly.
We're regulars up at the Bury Ruffham Hill Lorry Park.
Yep.
Or the Copdock Tesco's.
Yep.
One. If anyone sees us about, come and say, ask questions. We always explain stuff if we can. If we've got time to.
Have you got handouts as well for like load security and things like that?
We've got all sorts of different documents.
We've got National Highways have produced a very handy book for van drivers predominantly, but that covers everything. But yeah, we've got lots of handouts.
Yeah,
I think we're going to be at a Suffolk show this year. If anyone's about, come and say hi.
Yeah,
we'll be there. Trying to arrange, see if we can get the unmarked truck.
Right.
Because although it's unmarked, it has got a load of magnetic Battenberg markings for it.
Yeah.
So we're just sort of trying to see if we can get that at the moment.
Yeah.
So we may or may not have it. Yeah. Either that will be here or the van will be here. One of the two will be here.
Right, fair enough.
We'll definitely be there for 2 days.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think really it's the same. What it says, just what's made people safe. That's all we're after.
Yeah.
We have a good year. No one gets hurt.
Yeah, that's it. At the end of the day,
we've done our job.
Yeah, we all just want to go home, don't we? So, yeah. Well, thank you very much for your time, gents.
No problem.
And we'll hopefully speak to you soon.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, thanks,
cheers. Ta da.
Thanks for listening to the Trucking Driver podcast, sponsored by Fortune Tyres. Fortune Tyres and International Tyres, bringing you innovation and reliability to support your operation. Learn more at internationaltyres.com/fortune or call 0121 552 6888. Drive forward with Fortune Tyres.